You're listening to the Humankind Well-Being Forum from humanmedia.org.
The most common reason that patients mention turning to complementary and alternative medicine is really focused on aspects of quality of life to decrease the side effects of the treatments that they're taking to help improve their quality of life. Some indicated to boost their immune system. Essentially, patients want to do everything that they can to help combat this disease. And they, in addition to receiving conventional medicine, which the majority of patients receive, they want to do everything else that they can. And so they turn to what's classified as complementary alternative medicine.
Let us focus on your use of yoga as a technique for people with cancer to help them deal with several aspects of it, both physical and emotional. What have you observed of cancer patients who turn to yoga as an intervention?
Well, from our research, and we've worked with two kinds of yoga, Tibetan yoga and Hatha yoga, from our Tibetan yoga research, we saw in patients with lymphoma that they reported significantly improved sleep quality in the fact that their self-reported sleep quality was better. They slept longer, they fell asleep faster, and took fewer sleep medications if they had participated in this Tibetan yoga program. In our work with breast cancer patients receiving radiation and participating in Hatha yoga, we found that they reported better physical functioning, better general health, lower levels of fatigue. So we're seeing from our research that the emphasis here is really more on the physical benefits that yoga is providing to patients.
So you mentioned these two modes of yoga, Tibetan yoga and Hatha yoga. Could you please describe them?
Well, in some sense, they're very similar, but seen from the outside, they would seem to be very different. They both incorporate aspects of visualization and relaxation, meditation, postures, and regulated breathing. The Tibetan yoga is somewhat different in that there's a unique form of breathing that's incorporated while doing the postures, and the postures are all fluid movements that are done while one is gently holding their breath. Hatha yoga is, the postures are fluid in the sense of when you get into the posture, but then it's more of a static posture. And you work with your breath throughout the posture, not holding your breath. I would say that the Tibetan yoga that we've designed is lower impact compared to our Hatha yoga program, in that all the postures are done in a seated position, either on the floor or in a chair. Although the Hatha yoga program we've designed is very, the seven postures that we have the patients do are very, very simple. It takes a little bit more energy.
And when you say low impact, I just want to clarify, by that you do not mean that it has less of an impact upon a person's sleeping or mobility.
No, low impact in terms of they're not being asked to stand on their head or to, you know, put them, you know, their foot behind their head or, you know, any vigorous, complicated postures.
And what is a practitioner of yoga who's dealing with cancer doing with their mind when they're performing one of these exercises?
Well, you're really supposed to focus on yourself, focus on your breath, focus on the sensations that you're feeling within your body. In some sense, it's also easier to say what you shouldn't be doing. You shouldn't be thinking about, you know, what should I be cooking for dinner, and I wish I had not had that argument last night with my husband. You really should be viewing this as an opportunity to to focus on the now, focus on the moment, live in the moment.
And so that involves trying to quiet the thoughts in the mind a little bit?
Absolutely.
That might be hard for somebody who is dealing with a serious illness. Do you have suggestions on how they might take some steps to do so?
Well, there's a number of different techniques. You know, the most commonly used one is to bring your mind and your focus back to your breath. Focusing on the breath, focusing on, you know, the sensations and the temperature as you inhale, the sensations and temperature as you exhale. And most importantly, not to beat yourself up for letting your mind wander off. You know, if you tell somebody not to think about a white bear, they're immediately going to think about a white bear. So you want to sort of allow those thoughts to come and just, you know, let them wander off again, and try and bring it back to the moment.
So a kind of gentleness to the approach overall.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course your mind's going to wander. Your mind's going to wander even if you don't have cancer. That's just the reality of the way our minds work. And in time, people will find it easier to remain focused and to remain concentrating on the moment.
What are some suggestions you would have for some initial steps people could take if they're dealing with cancer and they wanted to incorporate some of these yogic practices?
Well, what's wonderful about yoga in this country is that it's really mushroomed all over the place. So the most important thing I think to recommend is that they seek guidance and teachings from an experienced yoga teacher. It's particularly important, if possible, to find a yoga teacher who's worked with cancer patients. And although the latter might not be as easy to find, I think it's very easy now to find a yoga teacher in most cities. And the reason to find somebody is because it's very difficult to learn yoga effectively just from a video or from a book source. It's important to have somebody physically in the same room that you're in to be able to help guide you in particular, the initial instructions. It's also very important to communicate if you have cancer with somebody on the healthcare team, to let them know what you're doing and to get some guidance and feedback from them if there's particular movements or issues that there should be some concerns about. So, for example, if the patient unfortunately has bone metastases, there could be some fragility to the bone and you would want to avoid weight-bearing exercises. And there's other examples, but that's just one.
So check with your doctor to make sure that this would be appropriate.
Yeah.
Any other side effects or concerns a person might consider before embarking on a program of yoga?
I don't think so. Except, I mean, the most important thing to note that it's not about the product, but it's about the process. And unfortunately, in the West, we often focus on the product. You know, can you put your head to your knees? Because that's what you need to strive for. And that's not what yoga is about. And so to never push yourself, to never, you know, do something that puts too much strain on your body. It's a time to get in touch with your body, to listen to your body, and to follow your body, because your body's very intelligent if we're able to listen to it effectively. For some people, yoga might not be exactly what they want. I also think it's important to try and do something. So if yoga is not the thing, maybe Pilates is. If Pilates isn't the thing, then maybe Tai Chi is. Or perhaps just a light physical activity followed by a 10-minute meditation. All of these things, we believe, can be very useful, and the key is just to try and incorporate something that helps you to focus on yourself.
Helps you to focus on yourself and on your recovery.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to the Humankind Well-Being Forum. I'm David Freudberg. For more information and to learn about Walking Through the Storm, our radio documentary project for cancer survivors, please go to humanmedia.org. Thank you for listening.